All right, here we go. You ready?
Let's go.
Okay, and a one, and a two, and welcome to the Tales of Alarm Box podcast. This is episode 184. Spotlight on DC Comics Secret Society of Supervillains, number one, circa 1976. I was a wee child. I am Chris Mosby when this came out. 30 cents on the cover. Just blows my mind.
I can... You 30, know.
32 pages. This was, anyway.
This came out before I started reading comics. So.
Yeah.
And this is Caleb, by the way.
Yes, this is Caleb, yeah. And we got Murray,
this
too.
This is Murray, yep. And, I don't know, I think I was reading comics at this time. I'll know when we get to the ads and whether any of them look familiar.
Yes.
Well, ads for comics at the time. Probably seen the ads in the meantime, though.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, but I know whether I was...
Ten Masters of Evil together in one brain-boggling book. And I think it's kind of cool that, you know, on the cover you got Captain Cold and Grodd, and the Flash is there, and those are two villains that have shown up in the TV show recently. I think that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So anyway, yeah. Ready to get... Who's doing this one?
I'll do it.
All right.
I love it. I just reread this series last weekend. Last weekend, maybe 2 weekends ago.
I read it at dinner. In my hardcover version.
Does it have the whole series in it?
Between the two volumes, yes, it does. And some specials as well.
And it's got, yeah, it should have a special. Does it have the canceled comics in it?
I might. I haven't looked through all the volume 2 yet. It's supposed to. Surprised to see the Paul Kirk Manhunter clone is a villain. I've never even looked at any of these issues, so I was surprised to see that. But of course, if I looked at the back of the hardcover, I would have saw it right there. What do you know?
Well, spoilers.
And I'm such a dilettante. I've never read these before.
Yeah, I haven't either. I'm looking forward to looking, because I read the first one and really enjoyed it. It was Gary Conway, so you know, who was his own editor. That's just how great a writer he is.
He would be.
All right, got him.
Let's do it.
Okay. So we got a cover. We got Gorilla Grodd and Captain Cold featured prominently. Big old trash can filled with a whole bunch of Justice League robots. We got Mirror Master, Star, Sapphire, and Sinestro running away. Grodd is saying, "Today we crush the Robot Justice League, Captain Cold. Tomorrow we destroy the real." That's right. And it's a big cover by Ernie Chan. We get inside, and it's Jerry Conway. He is the editor. Look at that, writer-editor. Pablo Marcos is the artist. Bob Smith is the inker. And we are the embellisher. Sorry. He embellishes.
And I did so much work on the book. No.
Bi-monthly, which was interesting.
Yeah, and it was actually bi-monthly, too. Like, sometimes they did those 8-month-year things, but I think this one actually was.
Okay.
Every other month.
Well, it says right at the top, you're cordially invited to attend the first bi-monthly meeting. Yeah.
Attend or die.
That's right. That is right. Introducing the wildest super ever, and I don't think we've had a... We certainly haven't had at DC anyway a series starring the villain. And I think this is even before the Joker's book, maybe?
Might be.
Maybe not. It might be right around the same time. I'd have to Google that. Either way, first, I think, book with a collection of...
What else came out?
Criminals as the...
As a matter of fact, the Joker, I just clicked on the month, May, June, and 76. The Joker number 7, it came out the same month.
Okay.
So there you
go. Joker had been around for a while. And wouldn't be around for much longer. longer, because I only think it lasted 9 issues.
Yeah, something like that.
Huh, interesting. Alrighty, we got Captain Cold, we got Mirror Master that just pulled a bank heist, well, a jewelry heist, I guess. You know, from downtown, wherever, New York. And they are running away, blasting their ray guns and their mirror guns and, you know, running away from the police because that's what they do.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And they pick New York because, of course, this is the DC Universe and there are no superheroes in New York. They're all in Metropolis or Gotham or...
Exactly.
Star City. Central City. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They're not in any real towns. If this were Marvel, however, these wouldn't have made it past the first page.
No.
They would have been mopped by the Fantastic Four and the Avengers and the X-Men and Daredevil and Spider-Man. And a couple of others. Anyway, they escape. They actually escape. Captain Cold makes like a nice bridge and they run off to their little hotel where they're sharing. It's a dive of a hotel, too. It's like, it's grungy. Anyway, they're sharing a little room. They're cutting up their loot.
They didn't get away with this, though.
I wonder if this was like, I know that the Rogues Gallery is like a big deal in the Flash world, but at this point, was there a quote unquote Rogues Gallery in the Flash? Because they're talking like they've never teamed up before, these two.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, and it's the first Mirror Master.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I think there was a Rogues Gallery at this point.
It's a good...
Maybe they've never done like a partnership thing before, but I think the Rogues Gallery is something from the... I want to say from the 60s, but maybe not. Maybe it is more of a 70s thing. Huh.
And again, it's just the way they're talking. Continuity conscious, so...
Very true.
That is true. Interesting. Huh, that'd be something neat to check out.
Yep. Anyway, they are... I'm trying to find that out now.
Counting their loot. And while they're counting their loot, they get a rock thrown through their hotel with a note that's attached to it.
Remember, kids, we didn't have email back then.
No. Apparently we didn't even have... It's a very nice envelope, though. Like, it's, you know. Yeah.
Apparently, they didn't have telephones either in this hotel.
Well, it's pretty run down. Like, mm-hmm. It's a dive. These are the criminals, you know. They are not staying at the Four Seasons or the Five Star or whatever.
Exactly. Especially if they go to all that trouble and only get 10 grand worth of stuff.
I know. They were expecting thousands, and they didn't get nearly enough. Although, I would be happy with 10 grand, I think. Today, I would be happy with 10 grand. In the 70s? Oh, they're greedy.
That's not bad.
I know. Well, that's why they're criminals. Anyway, so they open up their letter.
Bullets at them. Not really worth 10 grand.
Let's see.
Anyhow, sorry. Invitation. That's right. They're invited to join the secret society. And then we switch scenes to Gorilla City. And Grodd is breaking out of his prison. Where no doubt Flash has placed him. Oh, no, yes. Was it Flash? My last defeat was in Super Team Family 3. I think that was Flash. Flash and Hawkman, maybe? Anyway, he's right. Breaking out. He's smashing heads. The guards are wearing like these little, almost look like Fidel Castro.
It's not how I picture Gorilla City. Gorilla City nowadays that I think of is sort of this mix of modern and futuristic and past. And this is like a basic prison setup. It even has the tower with the guy sitting up there with the gun.
Yeah, it really doesn't look like the Gorilla City I've always thought of.
Yes, you're Super right. Team Family was. Flash, Hawkman, Superman, and Batman.
Yep.
That particular issue.
Yep. I think there were two stories.
Yes, there was three stories, actually, because it seems like Aquaman and Green Arrow was in there, too. Yep.
That was a... Anyway, I think two of them were flashbacks. One of them, the Flash one, was not a flashback.
There you go.
Ironic.
Yes, and it looks like Wikipedia, the 60s was when the the Rogues were around, more than likely.
Okay. All right.
So then Conway was using this as an opportunity to do a little bit of character work and introduce us to characters and all that jibbity-jib-jab stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, jib-jab.
Jibbity-jib-jab. Alrighty, so Grodd makes use of his powers. He's a big, strong beast. He's got these mental powers. He blasts the rest of the gorillas, knocks them down, and then he vanishes in a puff of smoke, laughing all the way.
Yes, my nephew was very happy to see Grodd at the end of last week's Flash.
Oh, I know. That was awesome.
Yep.
Awesome.
Charmed.
So we've seen three Flash foes. And then we go to New York again, and there's a criminal breaking out of jail. It's Copperhead. I don't know who he's connected to.
Apparently, I don't really know either. I don't know much about that character at all.
I feel like he was a second string hero's enemy, but I don't know
like
who.
A third string.
Yeah, like I could see him going up against the Atom, maybe, or Batman, or I don't know.
They don't even, the comic book database doesn't even know who Copperhead it was here, according to this.
I found the Wikipedia page, give me a second. Brave and the Bold, he was a Batman, mm-hmm. Wonder Woman.
Oh, he was a Batman
initially.
Guy.
Yeah.
Huh.
He was a Batman villain. Like,
yep, I see that now.
Okay. Alrighty, so we do get a Batman villain, but not one of the Batman villains you would expect.
I had no idea he was a Batman villain. Yeah, that's a surprise.
He's got like a special snake suit that's all... Looks like one of the arms goes all like serpentine-y.
Yep.
And he's very flexible.
Hey,
he slips on out of jail. That's right, the Serpentine King of Crime. So he comes down, he meets his flunky...
Mm-hmm.
And thanks him for
dressed just like him. That must be confusing at the group meetings.
I know. That should have been the first sign that he was a Batman villain, because the flunkies are dressed up like.
True.
So the flunky delivers the invitation to the secret society, and he of course agrees. He's going to go west to San Francisco, where they have their Sinister Citadel headquarters. And we fly out into space and we meet Sinestro, the renegade Green Lantern. And he is not like I was going to say not like I remember. He's not like the Sinestro we have kicking around today. He's much more of almost more like mustache twirling villain, I think.
Oh yeah, absolutely. It says in there in a section that he became a renegade because he's some because of greed, which isn't how they rewrote that. But
yeah.
Anyway, go ahead. Yeah,
I almost get the sense too that he hasn't been around in a while. We haven't seen him in a while because it seems like he's been.
Yeah, he made an oath to never return to Earth.
Yeah, and so months in, like, comic book time is years? I don't know. Anyway, he comes on down. He uses his magic yellow ring to give himself a bit of a secret identity. Secret identity with a giant gold earring and pointy ears. He's he's definitely got, like, a pirate look.
Oh, yeah.
Sort of. Pirate look in a suit.
He looks like a genie.
Oh, that's it. He's very genie. Yeah.
Ah, good point.
So he lands in San Francisco. He sees the Sinister Citadel, and we get one of those awesome little cutaway scenes where they show us all the little rooms inside the Citadel. So it's got like the main lab, and it's got the guest quarters, and an arsenal, and a library, and
You
know what it's got? You know what it's got that the Justice League don't got?
What?
It's got a bar.
Yeah, it does. Main parlor and bar. Very good point.
Well, they are villains. They need their little champagne when their things go correct.
But it's not co-ed, though. The men's and women's suites in fact, separated.
That's too funny. You know what? These buildings, the suites are always separated.
And they've even got a costume design shop.
Yeah, I know. I love the tailor and costume design. I thought that was awesome, man.
They brought that guy in from the Flash series. I don't remember what his name was. But
oh, yeah, yeah.
Gamboni or something, I think. Mm-hmm. Gambini? Gambi? I don't know. There are certainly enough Flash villains in this series that he could probably be put on retainer.
That's right.
Alrighty, so he enters the building, and it's apparently a beautiful building. He's never seen anything like this before. He is greeted by a French lady in like a pink leisure suit, which is, I guess, very swanky for the 70s.
I would imagine so, yes.
Monsieur Sinestro, she says, and she says her name is Camille. And as the series goes on, her name will sometimes be Camille, and sometimes it'll be Deborah, and sometimes it'll be Debbie, and sometimes she'll be French, and sometimes she won't be French, and we never really get any sort of explanation for any of that.
in the follow-up in Justice League, she was, like, useless, so...
Yeah, they... I think they wanted to do stuff with this, and she, of course, turns out to be Star Sapphire. Not the original Star Sapphire, not the Carol, what's her name? I was going to say Carol Lombard. That's not her. Who's Green Lantern's chick? Ferris. Carol Ferris. It's not her. It's
no, not at this point.
Else. And we don't really learn why it's somebody else or how she got these Star Sapphire powers. She's on the team to be the chick, and sometimes she's powerful, and sometimes she's not, and sometimes she's got little plans going on, and other times, they try to do stuff with her, I think, but this book goes through a number of creative teams, and some of them do more with her than others. Anyway, so she guides Sinestro into the elevator, and then once he's on his way up, she presses the little jewel at her throat and does like a big purple swoosh and turns into the Star Sapphire.
The new Star Sapphire.
That's right. Possessing the powers of the old while inhabiting a new body.
It's Brian Bendis. It's the all new Star Sapphire.
The all new Star Sapphire. That's right. And they say, yeah, as to the identity of this Star Sapphire, that's something we'll be revealing as we race along. Well, not really, but you know, they think they will. They even have a butler. Look at this. I'm Carstairs the butler. Carstairs greets.
Carstairs?
Yeah.
What kind of name is that?
Yeah, it's a very butlery name.
Carstairs?
You kind of have to be a butler. So Sinestro is entered into the, or welcomed into the secret meeting room, and we get the roll call, so we get to see that we're meeting. They say the butler replies with a smile, taking a step backwards. He ushers the renegade Green Lantern into a rustic wood paneled parlor, a room crowded with villains. We get Captain Boomerang, the Wizard from Earth 2, Mirror Master, Captain Cold, Grodd, Catwoman, except she never shows up, the Shadow Thief, Copperhead, and, of course, Star Sapphire. And so you look at the villains that they've collected, and it's kind of... I mean, they say Catwoman is supposed to be a member of the group, but she's not in the issue.
Where do they say that?
Do they not say that in your book?
Not mine.
What do they say? Mine says, a room crowded with villains, Captain Boomerang, the Wizard from Earth 2, Mirror Master, Captain Cold, Grodd, Catwoman.
Oh, yeah, I see that. Okay, now I see it. Never mind.
Yeah. They mention it, but she never shows up. Like, never, ever, ever, ever.
Yeah, oh, I missed that the first time. Mm-hmm. Wow. Huh.
And we've got Shadow Thief in this issue, and then he just kind of vanishes, and he never, ever, ever, ever shows up again in the book.
Interesting. Interesting. So
Do they explain why the wizard comes in from Earth 2? Is that ever?
I think so, and I think they just explained it in that Earth 2 was boring, wanted new challenges, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I mean, it's just as good as an explanation as the rest of them being there.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially this Sinestro.
Yeah, in DC land, Earth 2 villains, if someone wanted to write them, they just kind of suddenly appeared, and they didn't really worry too much about the the explanation. So the Fiddler, he kind of shows up in Titans because the writer wanted to write about the Fiddler, and so the Fiddler just fiddles himself through.
I wonder if the new DC is going to be like that.
Flash heavy, isn't it? Okay, sorry.
It really is. Like, look at those villains. So we've got like 1, 2, 3, 4 Flash villains.
And the rest of them are Green Lantern.
No, Shadow Thief is Hawkman.
True, true. And Copperhead is officially a Batman villain, I believe, if we decided, didn't we? But yeah, it is very Flash heavy.
It's a weird mix. Like, it's not any of the big heavy hitter. Well, I mean, there are some heavy hitters in there, but there's no Luthor, there's no Joker, there's no Riddler, there's no... I'm trying to grasp.
Probably the highest profile were probably Grodd and Sinestro because they were in Challenge of the Super Friends.
Right. Yeah. For sure. It's an interesting mix, right? But it's kind of cool. It is kind of cool. So all right. So they're all gap, and Star Sapphire flashes in and Sinestro says, "You're not the Star Sapphire, I know." She says, I am her successor. Yet I have already proven myself to these men before your arrival." And Mirror Master says,
"Sorry.
Oh, you haven't. Mirror contact lenses tell me you're losing an illusion of some kind, but..." And then Sinestro says, "Relax, Mirror Master. The illusion was produced by my power ring, and that alone must tell you that I'm indeed Sinestro, and as soon as he reveals himself, the Justice League comes crashing the wall. We've got Flash, Superman, Green Lantern, Batman, all the big guns. They come crashing through, and of course, a fight breaks out. Wizard is putting Batman by the legs. Superman's pounding Grodd in the face. Wonder Woman is doing something with her shoulders. She's doing some sort of dance move there.
Barely has any shoulders.
I know. Her head. Yeah, it's a weird pose. However, the villains, you know, they go to town. They go to town. So, Silver Sapphire, the Star Sapphire, she freezes Wonder Woman, and Copperhead grabs her by the legs and starts twisting her around, throwing her through the air. She doesn't just freeze Wonder Woman. She did a crystal. Ooh. And then Copperhead throws
Halo.
That's right.
Gym powers.
Yes. Throws Wonder Woman into Batman. And that takes him out, I think.
And I like how they think, you know, that comes up next. These people never shut up.
Well, that's true, and that's exactly what Captain Cold says.
Oh, and we have a PSA here in a minute. It says, "If you've ever said, there must be a better way to earn a living, one of our free career booklets may provide the opportunity you've been looking for."
Ooh.
Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
You are right.
Slim Jim.
Exactly. Yeah. So, let's see. Captain Cold, he's figuring out something's wonky here. He throws a little ice shield in front of Green Lantern, who then smashes into it. While Shadow Thief doesn't do much of anything, he kind of lets himself get pushed around by Green Lantern. He doesn't turn into a shadow. He doesn't do anything. He just kind of snivels in the background there.
It's pretty stupid, actually.
Yeah, he's normally a little more capable than that, I think. Mm. However.
He takes on the Hawks, for goodness sake. So
yeah, he does.
That's right. Let me see. So Superman and Grodd are still pounding each other out.
Hey.
With their fists. We should mention that. We don't want Darren to show up.
Cold thinks Grodd might need some help, but Grodd says, I can totally handle this on my own. He does a pile driver, I think, into Superman's gut. Knocks him down. While the Flash is pounding on poor old Mirror Master's face. And Mirror Master's thinking, he's just punching me. He's not doing any super speed stuff. There's something funny here.
And so he pulls out his sister lets him get punched as he says it.
I know. Pulls out a little mirror prism, zaps the Flash, knocks him down. And, of course, this is when Grodd realizes, this isn't Superman at all. This is a robot. And there's a mysterious voice on this intercom system. Oh, no, it's not the intercom. It's our last villain. He comes walking in. All of those heroes are robots, Grodd. And Captain Cold's about to swear up a blue streak there. But the new visitor says, watch your tongue, Cold. You might say I'm your host substitute, and I go by the name Manhunter. In a way, this fight was a demonstration, a practical display for the need for a secret society. To fight them, the heroes and our mortal enemies. Each of us here is what society calls a master villain, an outlaw, a renegade. You, Sinestro, used to be a Green Lantern until greed corrupted you as it corrupted Mirror Master, Starfire, and Grodd, and Captain Cold. All of us, in fact. I'm the clone of a man named Paul Kirk. And greed's got me too. We're loners, or at least we were. That's all changed now if we so decide. We can have our own secret society of supervillains, our own headquarters, or even our own butler. And
who's bowing?
I know. Who's bowing? And that's the clincher. Not only do you get your headquarters, but you get a butler. So of course they're all going to join up. And then Captain Cold is like, what's the catch? There's got to be a catch. And Manhunter says, oh, there is. We each need to prove ourselves to our financier, a man who for the moment shall remain nameless. And the first two who have to prove themselves are you. And he points at Grodd and Copperhead. And they're like, are you crazy? And Grodd is totally insulted. He's like, why do I have to prove myself? And Manhunter says, for the only reason any of us do anything, Grodd, enlighten self-interest. And Copperhead says, maybe, if this society is half as good as I think it can be. And so Grodd agrees, very well, I will do this test. You tell us what we have to do. And so for their test, they need to... they're sent off to rob a lighthouse, I think. They're sent off to this little island, and, oh, it's a lonely little scientific outpost. A secret government lab right in San Francisco Bay. And Copperhead, like, jumps out of the boat that they're using to sneak up on the island, and he starts crawling up the side of the lighthouse because he's like a snake, man. He's very dexterous, I guess. Very climby. Snakes, because snakes are known for their climbing skills. Nice. Well, they are, I guess. Anyway, he like wiggles his way up the tower, and while he's doing that, Grodd does this big distraction below. He starts throwing some of the rocks on the island around and knocks the guards around.
I love the banter that comes out of this little fight too.
I know. In case you haven't noticed, allow me to point out, you're under attack. A gorilla, a talking gorilla.
A ghost!
And he's like, for an underprivileged homo sapien, you're truly perceptive, my hairless friend. I am indeed a talking gorilla.
They could have shot him like 100 times by now. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
I'm poking holes.
Okay. Like Simeon's in your grotesque Planet of the Apes film. Ooh, he's not a fan.
No, no.
He's maybe seen the most recent one.
Damn, dirty humans. Yeah, probably. I refuse.
Anyway, who could not like the classic? I mean, even Garage should like it, however.
Yeah, you would think.
There's no accounting for taste. Anyway, he takes out the security guards, throws them around, and while he's drawing all their attention, Copperhead is way up above in the tower. And once he is in the tower, he finds a protected sphere of solid plutonium, which is used for atomic fission. In case you didn't know, there's a little editorial box reminding you. And he knocks out the one little old man who is guarding plutonium. That's right. Yes, the old man tries to shoot Copperhead, but...
Yes, and he's not even rattled by the guy in a snake suit showing up. I mean, you know.
Well, it doesn't matter, because Copperhead gives him a good ballet kick to the chin and knocks him down. Steals the plutonium and slithers back down the tower there.
That blasted gorilla.
Of course, before they can make their getaway... Copperhead is jumping into the boat, Grodd is on the boat, and one of the security guards just barely moves, grabs his gun, gets one shot off, and hits Copperhead in the shoulder.
You only got shot in the shoulder once. Good lord. That's poor shoulder.
Shot in the shoulder, drops the plutonium, drops into the water, and Grodd flies off. He's like, you are an idiot. An idiot and a pathetic incompetent. So he flies away and Copperhead's left to his own devices there and will, you know, end up in prison. So he goes
and
back.
There's plutonium floating around in the San Francisco Bay. Gross.
I know. Or it's sunk, you know. Either way, San Francisco Bay will never be the same. So Grodd goes back, he makes his report, and Manhunter says, you don't have to worry about Copperhead betraying us, Grodd. We have ways to ensure silence. And Cold says, okay, so who's our mysterious benefactor? And Manhunter says, nothing. He is silent, and in that silence there's a promise that answers will come tomorrow. Boom, boom, boom.
And what else will come tomorrow? The sun will come up tomorrow.
That's right. Do, 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 do. And not only will we get answers, but we get the return of Captain Comet next issue. Woo-hoo. Now, at this point, this is a series that kind of plays around with who's really leading the series. And in this way, it's kind of similar to Secret Six, because... this book kind of strings out who the mysterious leader is for four or five issues, and then they change a creative team and they start deciding there's a new secret person in charge of the team, and I think they switch it one more time. There's like three mysterious leaders behind the team. they never quite make up their mind who's fully in charge.
I'm sure it had nothing to do with the short run of the show.
Well, I mean, it had, what, 15 issues?
Yeah.
15 issues at bimonthly? That's like, it's a couple of years.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I noticed in the back of this, there's some text about who the Paul Kirk in Gorilla Grodd, like a little report.
Yeah, and they promised to kind of do this for some of the rest of them, and I don't remember if they ever do.
I have no idea.
They give information about Grodd, and they give a quick history of Manhunter, the Manhunter character, who was it's Walt Simonson, and I forget who.
I've got a not quite a trade, but a special edition something about that. It was put out a couple of years ago.
Who's guy died?
Anyway, I think in the original Manhunter backup stories, the Manhunter character was killed off. But they can get around that because he was a clone, and now they've got another clone here in the Secret Society. For however long he lasts. Yes. Anyway, there's our first issue.
Yeah, it was good. I kind of liked it.
It's a fun little series. It goes up. It goes all over the place, but
I'm looking through the first hardcover here. It definitely goes all over the place.
Oh, it does. Like the first couple of issues, they tie Darkseid and Apocalypse into the story.
Yeah, I saw that by issue three.
Yeah, they're fighting like Mantis. Mantis, I think he shows up, doesn't he?
Yeah,
I think so. Mantis, Darkseid shows up, and
yeah, Mantis right there.
Yeah,
Captain Comet shows up at number two.
Yeah, and he sticks throughout the remainder of the series. He's kind of the one character that's there throughout the whole run. Grodd is kind of there. Star Sapphire is there. The Wizard is kind of there. And then the rest kind of come and go depending on who's writing the book. It goes through a couple of different, like the first four or five issues is very Darkseid Kirby-esque, and then they switch. They switch approaches like really abruptly in six or seven, and you get the sense that they're doing it because it just wasn't popular, it wasn't working, or people didn't want to see the Darkseid Kirby characters in with this bunch of villains, and they're just kind of swept aside really, really, really quickly.
Wow.
There we go.
Yeah, this is interesting for sure. Looking forward to reading it, though.
You will enjoy it.
It's something I haven't read. That's all that matters.
Yeah, totally.
And in Archie Goodwin,
that's who did Manhunter. Archie Goodwin and Walter Simonson. Yeah.
Here's the thing about how to win cash or prizes the easy Olympic way.
Woohoo!
Absolutely no cost to you. All you have to do is sell Olympic's beautiful everyday selections, a lovely new Olympic all-occasion card and note ensemble for 1976. Wow.
Ooh.
You know what? I signed up for one of these to try to get all this stuff I remember, and I got in trouble. Because I mailed it without talking to my parents, and we got stuck with a bunch of stuff. And yeah,
suddenly you were on every mailing list, and...
Yeah.
Things were arriving at the house.
Absolutely right.
Delivered by sea monkeys.
I never did get the sea monkeys, but I did get the huge ass box of army men, and they were like all flat.
Wasn't that disappointing?
It was. Oh yeah, I was so disappointed.
Yep.
It was terrible.
Well, I'm fading, guys. Not to be a wet blanket. But...
No, that's cool, man.
It's okay. We can wrap it up and...
Wrap it up. Okay, let's see. As always, you can send us an email at podcast@talesfromthelongbox.com. Ooh, I'm fading fast, too. Oh, and sorry about that. And you can join us on the Facebook page and do some wonderful discussion with all our comic book peoples. And where you can comment on the actual episodes and let us know what you think there. And that's about it for this week.
Those are peoples.
Spider-Man.